You're listening to Made Theory. This is a show where you'll learn the ups and downs of growing a business, the lefts and rights of marketing, and the ever-changing world of advertising. In large part, this show will cover the theory of how people made it. Travis talks to Lexi Alfert, the Guinness World Records youngest person to travel all countries. Yes, that means Iran, Iraq, and all the other countries that are considered dangerous. Listen to the interview and learn how she's inspiring others.
So, where are you right now?
I am in my apartment in Venice Beach, California.
Nice. How's it feel to be home?
So good. I've been needing to slow down a bit recently.
Yeah. Where did you travel to most recently?
Well, I was in Mozambique earlier this week.
Wow. Did you just get back?
Yeah, I got back 2 days ago. It took 44 hours to get back to California.
Wow. I think the longest flight that I've ever been on is probably coming back from Egypt to Austin, Texas. And I think that was still only with a layover, maybe 16 hours. And that was brutal for me. So I can't imagine 40 anything. I can't even imagine 20 hours. That's crazy.
Yeah, each layover is 5 hours.
So. Wow. Do you have any immediate travel plans in the next 3 months, or are you going to be staying home for the holidays?
I'll be staying home for the holidays. I don't have any confirmed plans yet, but I'm flirting with the idea of climbing Mount Aconcagua in Argentina in January.
Mount Aconcagua, huh?
Yeah, it's the tallest mountain in South America, actually. It's one of Summit, and I've always been interested in getting into high altitude mountaineering, and got a really interesting opportunity, so that might be my next adventure.
Have you done any climbing like that before?
Not like that, but a lot of it's more just local climbing in California, but It'll be stepping it up a notch, definitely.
Well, luckily you're in a really good place for it. You know, we have an ad agency and we started in Los Angeles. So I did a ton of hiking when I was in California. Being in Austin, Texas, it's a very big adjustment without really having mountains. You know, we have little hills, but it's not nearly the same. So usually I only get to hike when I travel back to the West Coast. So I'm curious, of all of the countries you've traveled to, and I think I know the answer to this by looking at your Instagram, but I would like to hear it from you. Where's your favorite place?
Yeah, I have a few different favorites for different reasons. One of them is Indonesia. I'm a diver, so the diving in Indonesia was the best I ever found. The history in Egypt was also a highlight. The people in Pakistan were the most friendly I've ever met. The natural beauty of Venezuela and Iceland were also incredible.
Very cool. Very cool. I, like I just told you, I got to go to Egypt recently. I also love, I mean, I felt like I could have spent 3 years there before I really explored everything. And it's probably, you know, I think it gave me a really good peek into your world, and I could imagine how some of the off the beaten path trips that you've taken have kind of opened up your mind, because Egypt was a big one for me. I mean, I've only really been to like mainstream Europe, Canada, US, some of South America. Going to Egypt was, I would probably say, culture shock, just like the driving, the food, some of the basic things that you take for granted in most of those other places were a little bit sketchier, but the history kind of overwhelmed or overpowered all of that. And for me, I felt like I could have stayed there for a really, really long time.
Yeah,
I definitely want to go back.
It makes you want to be like an archaeologist or something.
Right.
is a really special, place for me. It's one of those places that I love to go back to over and over again.
Yeah. So when you do go back to a similar or the same country, do you stay in the same places or do you try to stay in new towns or villages, new hotels? What's your usual plan?
It really depends. Usually if I'm going back to a country, it has a specific mission or experience or purpose in mind. I've been really trying to narrow down how much I travel based on experiences rather than going to new countries. So I'm going to where I'm drawn to new experiences or unique ones. So yeah, it's different every time.
Yeah, I can imagine. What does your travel bag look like? What are the types of things that you pack when you go on a really long trip, let's say even to Africa or somewhere where you're not going to have a lot of access to convenience stores or Target, something like that?
Yeah, I have a pretty fine-tuned list of things that I take with me. I only travel with a carry-on. So I travel with about 5 days worth of clothes or outfits that can be like mixed and matched together. So I find myself having to do laundry pretty often on long trips or like washing my clothes in the sink. But I travel fairly basically. I think that I found that you don't really need very many material possessions to get by. It's like an illusion because we have so much stuff in our houses that we need to take a lot of it with us. But I've found that I can live for months with nothing but a carry-on. So in a bag full of camera equipment and chargers.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's something that I've learned more as a seasoned traveler. Trying to pack as little as possible, for me at least, makes the trip so much less stressful. There's nothing worse than wondering if you forgot something really expensive in a hotel room, or having so many different bags or compartments in your bags that you don't know where something is. So it's something I've been trying to do. Somebody recently told me about, it's like a camping washing kit. It's made for camping, but you can wash your clothes in it and kind of like wring them out and let them dry. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but that's probably going to be my next purchase for travel.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good one. There's all kinds of fun little like things like that that will make it a little bit easier. But in my experience, I lose a lot of stuff.
So, yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah, so I have like a really just a small amount of things that I genuinely need.
Yep. So you recently posted on Instagram saying that you try to implement new habits into your routine to keep you motivated. What's a new habit that you've recently implemented into your routine?
There's been two that I've been going a bit hand in hand, and that would be meditating for 15 to 20 minutes every day, and also trying to exercise at least a little bit every single day.
Yeah, that's got to be pretty tough.
Simple, but when you're traveling so much, you lose a sense of routine because your daily agenda is shifting so much. You never know what you're going to be doing from day to day, and having some kind of structure of something that you do every morning or every night has been really essential for me, you know, staying motivated and staying productive and feeling like I am still grounded in that way.
That makes sense. I mean, I would say that usually for me, I use things that I do in my trip as an excuse not to exercise specifically. Like if I go for a big hike, I use that as an excuse for 3 or 4 days to not do anything. If I'm on a plane for a long time and I'm just exhausted, I use that as an excuse. So I'm sure that that's been a challenge for you. Are there any particular exercises that you found easy to do aside from yoga on the go?
Yeah, just running, because there's nothing. I always travel with running shoes. now. So that's the one exercise that you really just don't need anything for other than a pair of shoes.
That's a good one. And you can do that pretty much anywhere in the world, or you can run anywhere in the world. So that's cool. Have you ever had any issues with customs or security in any country, including the United States, that made you feel uncomfortable?
Yeah, I've had a few funny experiences. I would say that the worst of them was in Israel, actually. When I came into the country, I was coming from Pakistan, so an Islamic country, and they held my passport for 3 hours on the way into the country, and then never ended up asking me any questions. And then it wasn't until I was leaving Israel that they stopped me and interrogated me for an hour and a half. I almost missed my flight. They were really aggressive in their line of questioning and they were like asking rapid fire questions about every stamp in my passport, every photo on my Instagram, and then going back and asking the same question in a different way to try to confuse me because they didn't believe that I was trying to travel to every country. They didn't know why. It made sense. I had passport stamps for Iran and Iraq.
Right. And to their defense, they probably don't run into many people that are just traveling to every single country in the entire world. So I guess we can give them a little bit of a pass on that. But that must have been pretty scary. I mean, that's a scary feeling.
Yeah, and I'm a pretty anxious person already, which is why the medicine is helping. So that was just not what you want when you're about to hop onto a long-haul flight.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm super anxious as well, actually, and especially, you know, that's been – anxiety is a really big part of my life, and I did get to watch your TED Talk, and I know that you talked a lot about dealing with anxiety and fears. So while we're on that topic, do you have any tips or is there anything, meditation, yoga, those are really big ones. Is there anything else that you use to cope with anxiety, especially when you're so far away from your family and friends?
Mm-hmm. I would say that you definitely can't hide from feeling anxious. And one thing that always helps me is talking about it. So even if I am traveling alone and I'm just feeling really uncomfortable, having a few people in your life that you can call and say, you know, I'm having a really hard day or I'm feeling really anxious, and just telling someone about it usually is the first step that helps me towards getting past it. But nothing has helped me as much as meditation has.
Right. As you've kind of gained some international recognition for traveling and you've put yourself on the map, so to speak, do you find that people recognize you? And is that something that you worry about in terms of your safety?
Yeah, I've had a few people recognize me, but they're usually like really, really nice, really like just excited people rather than having any kind of safety concerns about it. I'm not too worried about that.
Good. That's good.
But it's going to countries that are a little bit less safe. It's good to sometimes not post about being in that country while you're actually there. In some like Afghanistan or something, I would delay like posting any Instagram stories from that country until I actually had already left.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that was really kind of what I was getting at. That would be my concern, just worrying about kidnappings and various things and, you know, not countries that just where that would happen possibly. So not really putting yourself out there until you're not there.
Yeah, exactly. And using your best judgment in that way. But I found that so many people all over the world that I've never personally ran into any dangerous situations really too much. So, yeah.
Good. I saw the situation on the TED Talk that you had discussed, and that one was pretty funny, it turned out. but that would have scared me a lot. Like, that would have probably made me second guess a lot of my travel plans after, just because of the fear part of the experience. But I'm really happy that turned out to be, if you want to recap it, but it sounds like it was a wedding with automatic weapons, wedding party.
It was a crazy night in Yemen where they were shooting off guns outside of my hotel. But it wasn't in a aggressive, hostile way. They were actually just celebrating, because in Islamic culture, they don't celebrate in the same ways that that we do in the U.S. especially. Mm-hmm. There's no like drinking or partying in that way. So they were, yeah.
Very, very interesting. So what types of, you travel a lot, obviously. I would probably guess, and you can tell me the right number here, but you're probably traveling 70% of the year?
Yeah, that's a fair estimation. And I'm going to be slowing down a lot more now that I have completed my goal. I've been wanting to change up my style of travel. And so I'm definitely not going to be traveling as much, or as quickly in the future.
Cool. I mean, so your style of travel is going to shift more towards, a really just deeper experiences. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I didn't really, enjoy going to, countries because they were sovereign nations. It started off as the dream of breaking this Guinness World Record and traveling to every country was a project that I started because I was 18 and I had just gotten out of college, and I was looking for any purpose that I could find in my travels to see as much of the world as possible. And then towards the end became a lot about finishing what I said that I, or like following through with what I said that I was going to do, even though, you know, maybe I want to go to Greenland, but I really shouldn't go to Greenland right now because I'm only traveling to sovereign nations. Like some situations that I couldn't, what's the word?
You couldn't really fit into your...
Yeah, exactly. Just because I was like on a very set mission, and I'd much rather just go to where I'm naturally being pulled, whether that be like a work project or friends or something, rather than chasing.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to look at it, and a good shift of perspective as far as future traveling. So while you're traveling 70% ish of the year, even if you slow down a little bit, you must have a lot of airline points or airline miles. What types of reward programs, airline, credit card, even travel websites like Expedia, what types of programs do you take advantage of, and what do you feel are the most useful?
Yeah. So the number one program that I use is Amex's Platinum. They give five times the points for like Delta SkyMiles, and that's definitely been the most useful out of all the programs that I've found.
So do you get a lot of free flights from that?
Yeah, definitely.
I bet. And I think Delta's also what, Air France, they're five or six pretty big airlines in that little bubble, right, that you can transfer those miles to.
Yeah, the SkyTeam will pretty much get you to most destinations in the world. So I've always used Delta for my long haul flights.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Delta as well. I was a big fan of domestic flights. I was a big fan of Virgin, and then that went away. Of course, got bought out by Alaska, I think. And then I sort of switched to Delta domestically, and now I've been using their alliance to travel internationally, and I love Delta. They're good. So I noticed that I'm a really, really big fan of bartering, and I've heard that you do some bartering as well. So I wanted to hear some creative ways that you barter when you travel, whether it be posting some content for a hotel. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the kind of the way that I got into like the social media marketing realm was that I always plan my trips in advance. Typically, I don't usually just book a flight and show up in a country with no notice. So a few weeks in advance, I would know where I was going, and I would find as many, and this is years ago, right. I would find as many hotels in that destination. I would cold email all of them, telling them that I was a photographer, I'm coming to your area, I would love to stay with you if I can take some photos in exchange for my accommodation. So I definitely got a lot of accommodation that way, which was really helpful, especially when I was starting out. And then also partnering with different tour companies kind of in the same way. In exchange for my content, they would show me around the country with a driver, or
that's awesome.
Take us to different stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you'd basically have a contact that you could trust, and they would kind of show you the culture, which is something that you probably wouldn't get to experience if you just were to go there by yourself and you didn't have to pay for it. I love that.
It's always important to get a local guide. That's one of the things I always do when I go to a new country, is try to find any like local, even if it's like a taxi driver that speaks good English, saying like, hey, you know, for $20, do you want to show me around for like an hour or two or something?
That's a really good tip. Cool.